I'd invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Ruth once again, please, this morning. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. The theme for this month is glorifying God in and through womanhood. And the life of Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth, is a very interesting study. She experienced all the facets of womanhood: a wife, a mother, she was widowed, and she had the tragic experience of losing her children, her only two sons. But at the end of it all, she was a grandmother. And so she experienced it all, and there are some valuable lessons from the life of Naomi that we can glean from in the book of Ruth. Note here in chapter 2, the book of Ruth, chapter 2, let's read verses 1 to 6. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, or it so happened, was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord be with thee." Verse 5, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we bless you and we are grateful for the privilege of eternal life in Jesus Christ, that we have a resting place in his finished work on the cross. And I pray if there are some in our midst this morning that have yet to fully value and understand and receive that gift of God, which is eternal life. I pray, O Spirit of God, that you would make that need known and grant the grace to turn and receive eternal life. And Lord God, for those of us that have a resting place in Jesus Christ, O God, I pray that you would teach us from your word this morning once again, that we might walk uprightly and walk in harmony with your will, knowing that all things do work together for good to them that love God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Here in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, Naomi arrives back home in Bethlehem. She arrives back home in Bethlehem, a broken woman. There in chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, she asks to be called no longer Naomi, which means pleasant. She asked to be called Mara, which means bitter. It is from this word we get the word or the name Mary. Comes from the word bitter. Mary, Marie, Mari, Maria, all stem back to this word, which means bitter. And it was of interest to me that the name Mary is mentioned for the first time in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. And that reads, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." And I was reminded of the fact that God, our Heavenly Father, through the bitter, agonizing death of His Son, provides a sweet salvation for all. So it's no coincidence that that woman was named Mary, which means bitter, would be the conduit by which a sweet Savior would come into the world. Naomi arrives back home, as I've said, as a broken woman. She is bitter, the Bible teaches us. Now, there are two main consequences of a bitter spirit. Besides the obvious unhappiness, bitter people are not happy people. One main consequence of growing bitter is that the inability to discern what is true. In other words, a distortion of what is true is often found in a bitter spirit. In other words, bitterness affects the way we process information or what we experience. And this is very, very common with bitter people. There's a distortion of what is true. But also, a bitter spirit is infectious. According to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, listen carefully, the Bible reads, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled." So outside of unhappiness, when a person becomes bitter, they lose their ability to accurately determine what is true. A distortion takes place. A distortion, what is true. And also, bitter people are infectious people. It affects others. Now, I say all that, it's of interest to me that in reading the book of Ruth, and over the last 2 weeks, I've probably read the book of Ruth about 8 to 10 times. What a book! And it's only 4 chapters. What a book! And it's interesting, from the following chapters, from chapters 2, 3, and 4, of the book of Ruth, we don't read of Naomi being called Mara. She asked to be called Mara, but she's still called by her name Naomi, which means pleasant. But more importantly, we don't read of Naomi reflecting bitterness in her conversation or in her conduct. See, God can take bitter experiences or a bitter experience, as Naomi had the privilege before God to experience. God can take our bitter experiences and produce sweet juices for His glory. And that's why I've titled this sermon, Sweet on Bitter Street, part two today. Sweet on Bitter Street. This is the main lesson from the life of Naomi, that God can take our bitter experiences and God can extract some sweet juices for His glory. We see in chapter 1 that God opens up a door for Naomi to return back home to Bethlehem. She hears that God has blessed her people and her land, and it's once again productive. So God makes known to her that there is food back home. So God opens up a door for her to return home to Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. And also she has the blessing of having a soulmate by the name of Ruth, one of her daughter-in-laws, that said, I will go with you. Where you dwell, I will dwell. Your God will be my God. So God was very gracious to Naomi. God opens up a door for her to go back home to the house of bread. And God provides a soulmate by the name of Ruth, her daughter-in-law, that commits to her and is determined to take care of her. Though she strongly encouraged her to remain behind because Naomi had nothing to offer. She was of a mature age and she said, how can I possibly help you? You're better off staying here in Moab. I've got nothing to give. I'm empty. I have nothing for you. I can't remarry. So because I can't remarry, I can't have children. So there won't be the possibility of having sons that you can marry. And even if I could marry and have children tomorrow, the age difference would be unrealistic. But yet Ruth said, I will go with you. So we see the hand of God working in the life of Naomi. Now as we study on in this book, let's note God's further work in Naomi's life. The next main principle I'd like for us to stress this morning or emphasize is the fact of Ruth's devotion to Naomi. See, Naomi is a broken woman. If you look back in chapter 1, verse 21, it reads, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Naomi is at the bottom of the barrel. She's hit rock bottom. And we see that God is at work in her life and God wants to restore her, just like God wants to restore your life and restore my life to productivity and fruitfulness. And we read here that Naomi returns. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 22, so Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. So they arrive back in Bethlehem at the right time of the year. It's harvest time. Note there in verse 22 once again of chapter 1. They came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So they arrived back at the right time of the year, harvest time. Barley was harvested around that period of time of March, April. Wheat was harvested June, July. So they arrived back June, during the time of the year that they harvest their barley. Good timing. Because they've got nothing. Naomi has nothing. All she has is her daughter-in-law. And that's everything. We'll see in the chapters to come. My friend, God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always perfect. It's no coincidence that Naomi realizes there is bread back in Bethlehem. And as she makes her way back to Bethlehem, lo and behold, it's harvest time. And then as we've read this morning here in chapter 2, Ruth offers to glean in the fields for them. As it reads there in verse number 2 once again of chapter 2, Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace. Now, what is the meaning of gleaning? Ruth offers to glean in the fields for Naomi and herself. What does it mean to glean? Now, in order to provide for the poor, it was part of the Mosaic law that crop owners during harvesting time were commanded to leave outer portions of their harvest, of their crops, so that those that were poor could come by and glean personally. So the reapers would reap the harvest, but they were to leave behind the corners of the harvest, and that was set apart for anybody in need physically for food. They could go through the fields and pick their own. They can glean. We see this spelled out in the book of Leviticus, please. Go to chapter 19 of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10, it reads, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest." Verse 10, "And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyards. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God." Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Verse number 19. "When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field," that is a collection of wheat or barley, Thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands." So within the Mosaic law, it was mandatory that in reaping your harvest, you would leave the portions of your harvest behind for those that were needy. Some farmers were known to leave up to a quarter of the harvest.
for the needy. And as it reads there in Deuteronomy, if you had a sheaf, that is a bundle of wheat that was ready to bring back to the store, and it happened to be left behind, don't worry about it, leave it behind for the poor and needy. So when Ruth said to Naomi there in Ruth chapter 2, let me go and glean for you, because they had nothing, she was willing to go out into the fields, whichever fields, it didn't matter, and glean for the family. And we read back in Ruth chapter 2, verse number 2, that obviously Naomi gave her blessing. Go, my daughter, she said. And as we have read in verse number 3 already, providentially, she ends up gleaning in the field, a field belonging to a man by the name of Boaz. Who was this Boaz? Boaz was related to Elimelech, the late husband of Naomi. Now Ruth doesn't realize this. She just simply goes out and looks for a field where they're harvesting, and where it reads that I might find grace in the sight of the reapers. In other words, that they'll allow me to glean. So she just happily went out to glean, and providentially she finds herself in the field of Boaz. But she doesn't realize that this owner of this field is related to her family. See, God has been good to Naomi. We see here Ruth's devotion in caring and providing for her destitute mother-in-law. Beloved, God promises to provide for his people, especially in time of need. And obviously, for one reason or another, Naomi didn't have the physical capability to glean. But she had an individual in her life that was willing to glean on her behalf, was willing to provide for her. So we see Ruth's devotion to Naomi. Beloved, God promises to provide for his people. It was the psalmist who said, I have been young, but now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Ruth cared for Naomi. My friend, God cares for you. God cares for me. And providentially, Naomi had a soulmate by the name of Ruth that was willing to glean on her behalf. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. We can with confidence cast our cares upon our God, because he cares for us. Ruth is in type God caring and providing for you and I. God has the ability to provide, and God is willing to provide. Ruth was willing to provide, and she had the ability to provide. Naomi experiences God's care and provision through Ruth. And my friend, may I remind you this morning, no matter where you and I are at, God is on our side. He will care. He will provide for you. He will provide for me. Naomi was assured of Ruth's love by being willing to glean on her behalf. For Naomi, Ruth caring and providing for her
was the outward expression of an inward love that she had for her. Surely this was good medicine in treating her bitterness. Surely this was good medicine for Naomi, to know that she had a daughter-in-law that was willing to glean and provide on her behalf. So we see the hand of God in the life of Naomi once again. She has nothing, but God provides in and through Ruth, her daughter-in-law. And as we read on in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, we note Naomi's discerning spirit. Naomi discerns the hand of God at work in her life. Look with me, please, to Ruth chapter 2, from verses 18 to 23. Note then verse 18 and 19. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." So we find here that Ruth, as you read through chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, Ruth has a very pleasant experience in gleaning through the field of Boaz. And as we've just read, she returns now to Naomi with plenty. And Naomi asks the obvious question, "Where on earth have you been? Where on earth have you been to glean so much?" That's a literal translation. "Who is it that has shown you such favor?" This was abnormal, what Ruth came back with. She had an overabundance. "Where on earth have you been, Ruth? Who in their right mind has shown you such favor?" And Ruth responded, "A bloke by the name of Boaz." Bloke by the name of Boaz. "I have gleaned in the field belonging to a man called Boaz." And then note then verse number 20, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Blessed be he of the Lord." Naomi blesses this individual in the name of the Lord, who has shown you such kindness. "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And then note then verse 20 goes on to read, "Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. This fellow by the name of Boaz, that you have gleaned all this food from, he is related to us." Ruth did not know. For some reason, Naomi did not encourage Ruth to glean in the field of Boaz.
But to her surprise, Ruth has been in the field of an individual that's related on her husband's side. And we see here that Naomi blesses God at the same time in blessing Boaz, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. So we see that Ruth just does that which was her duty as far as she was concerned, out of a spirit of love. And in bringing back all of this food for the family, Naomi informs her, this Boaz is related to us. And that little phrase there in verse number 20, who hath not left off his kindness to the living, to the dead. We see here that Naomi exercises some discernment here. She acknowledges the kindness of God in her life. We see a reviving of her heart spiritually. She discerns that God is at work here. In 1 Corinthians 2:15, the Bible talks about that they which are spiritual judge all things. They have understanding. So Naomi discerns the hand of God at work. This field that you've gleaned in Ruth is related to us. He is one of our next in kin. Naomi is thinking, kinsman redeemer. I need to sell my land. See, Naomi encourages Ruth to stay within the field of Boaz. Naomi encourages Ruth to stay within the field of Boaz. Note there in verse 21 and 22. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So Naomi encourages Ruth, stay in the field of Boaz. Don't go outside that field. You will be cared for. He's related to us. He's on our side. Don't worry about gleaning in other fields. Why? The main reason is that Boaz is a near of kin, related to Naomi's husband. And this man, Naomi, realizes has the potential to fulfill the role of a kinsman redeemer. So Naomi discerns the hand of God. Now it's important that we understand that all land belongs to God. We see this within the scriptures in the portioning out of the land to the people of Israel. That land was given to them by God, who distributes land amongst his people. And people were to value the land given to their family and to do everything in their power to keep the land within the family. Therefore, if you fell on hard times, you were directed to try and sell your land to a relative, keeping the land within the family. So you would look for a near relative to buy your land. So Naomi, the land of her late husband Elimelech, it's his name. He holds the title deeds. And she knows it's her responsibility to try to keep that land in the family. And the light comes on that this Boaz, where Ruth has been, is related to them, and this could well be our kinsman redeemer. So you were to look for a near relative to buy your land, just as we see in Jeremiah chapter 32. Go to Jeremiah chapter 32. We see that Jeremiah's nephew, approaches Jeremiah and asks Jeremiah to buy a field. Go to Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 7. Now, the interesting thing about this situation here in Jeremiah 32 was that Jeremiah was in prison. But still, family's family, and the nephew was there at the prison cell and said to Jeremiah, you need to buy this land. You need to keep this land in our family. Note then verse 7. Behold, chapter 32, verse 7, behold, Hanameel, the son of Shalem, thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth. For the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So God pre-warned Jeremiah that you'll have a visit from your nephew, who will encourage you to buy land in a place called Anathoth, and God commissions Jeremiah to buy the land. But note that little phrase there at the end of verse 7, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. And Naomi realizes that this Boaz has the potential to be our kinsman redeemer. Now, a kinsman, a relative, redeemer, that is, the ability to purchase, had to be next in kin, okay? Number one. And obviously they had to be willing to pay the price for the land. Obviously Ruth and Naomi were too poor to pay the price of the land of her husband's estate. Boaz was wealthy. The Bible teaches us he was a man of great wealth. He was not only a godly man, he was a very wealthy man materially. And this kinsman redeemer had to be willing to buy the land. You couldn't force a near kin to buy your land. It's offered, but you weren't forced. So if you qualified and you were willing, the process of a kinsman redeemer, you would buy that family property, but also you were obligated to marry the, if there is a widow, to marry the widow of the deceased and raise children in the name of the dead. And that's why Naomi said there back in Ruth chapter 2 verse 20, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. She realizes that Boaz could well be our kinsman redeemer. Naomi knew that Boaz could fulfill this role of kinsman redeemer. So her husband's land would remain in the family and that his name may continue through the daughter-in-law, that is Ruth, bearing children. So we see here in Ruth chapter 2, verse number 20, that Naomi can see the hand of God at work in her life.
We see discernment. Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And that's why Naomi in verse number 22 encouraged Ruth to remain within the field of Boaz. And Ruth obeyed, we note there in chapter 2, verse 23, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. The kinsman redeemer. The role of a kinsman redeemer is a wonderful picture of the provision of salvation for mankind. See, in our sinful condition, we are all in spiritual poverty, without the ability to redeem ourselves. Naomi didn't have the capability, the funds, the wealth to keep the land. She was broke. But by selling her portion of the land to family, the land would stay in the family, but she'd reap the finances from the sale of the land, and therefore she could survive. The Bible talks about all our works of righteousness are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. And Jesus Christ came into the world to redeem us back to God. The price paid, which we could not afford, was the precious, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. God the Father, by God the Son, has redeemed us back to God unto Himself. Note there in 1 Peter chapter 3, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it reads, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." That he might bring us to God, as it reads there in verse number 18. Christ suffered, the just one, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. How? By being put to death in the flesh. And in Jesus Christ dying on the cross, his blood was shed to provide redemption and forgiveness. If you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, it reads, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed," kinsman redeemer, "ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, that which is perishable, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." You and I can be redeemed from our sin with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And glory be to God that you and I can be redeemed by the kinsman redeemer. And the role that Boaz will fulfill in the chapters to come in the book of Ruth, how he redeems the land back into the family, that Jesus Christ has redeemed you and I back to God. Our sin separates us from God, but praise God for a kinsman redeemer in Jesus Christ that had the wealth to redeem you and I with his precious blood. My friend, have you allowed Jesus Christ? Have you allowed Jesus Christ to deliver you
from your miserable state before a holy God. He's ready to redeem. When you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And we see within the book of Ruth that Naomi discerns that God is at work. We have a near kinsman in Boaz. And Naomi encouraged Ruth, stay in his field. This could well be our kinsman redeemer.
Naomi discerns the workings of God. My friend, no matter our sour experiences, God can restore. God can work. And we see this in the life of Naomi. We see how God leads Naomi back home. And God provides Naomi a soulmate by the name of Ruth. And Naomi gets to that point in her life that she is at rock bottom and she could only look up. In that process of restoration, Naomi is ministered to by Ruth, who goes out and gleans for her, provides for her, cares for her. And in that process of caring and providing for Naomi, Naomi realizes that what has come back via Ruth has come from the field of a redeemer, a potential redeemer. And she sees the hand of God at work. She can see that God is working. Though she's come back home empty, she can see that God is at work. Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And my friend, this morning, Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He is the only one that has the power to redeem you and I out of the slave market of sin. And I encourage you to receive his forgiveness. He has made the down payment with his precious blood. He is willing. He has done the work. You and I just need to be willing to be redeemed by Jesus Christ. Will you allow Jesus Christ to redeem you from your sin? For those of us that are Christians, the life of Naomi is a wonderful reminder that God works from and for eternity. And no matter what we're experiencing, God is still at work. And Naomi got to this point in her life that she could see, wow, God is at work. It's no coincidence that we went back home at harvest time. It was no coincidence that my daughter-in-law, without me guiding her, gleaned in the field of Boaz. And it's no coincidence that Boaz, related to us, is very wealthy and he has the ability to redeem my late husband's land. She sees the hand of God at work. Christian, do you see the hand of God at work in your life? I trust you do. And if you don't as yet, bask in the fact that God cares for you and God is providing for you. I'd like to think that will soften your heart and my heart, that will cause us to see that God is at work. God is all wise. God is holy. Nothing surprises God. All things work together. together for good. And God can extract some sweet juices out of our bitter experiences. We'll study on this evening and bring the book to a close. It's a wonderful story. And note further how God works in the life of Naomi and, of course, in the life of Ruth for His glory. And all of God's people said, let's pray.